This is EAA Radio. I am Magneto Mel with a special session here of Push to Talk with our ATC representatives from the National Air Traffic Controllers Association. How are you guys all doing?
We're doing good. Well.
So, got a few of you here. I'll let you introduce yourselves around the table.
I'm Leanne Martin, Kalamazoo Air Traffic Control Tower.
I'm David Osteen from Oklahoma City Approach Control.
And I'm Evan Monroe from Fort Worth Center.
And, you know, we've got an air show going on here, and we bring in a lot of people talking about pilotage and airplanes. And, you know, there's a lot more that goes into aviation, obviously, and everybody knows all about the controller. So this is our, you know, our time to get a little chitter-chatter going about the stuff that goes on the ground and some of the systems that back us up. So is there anything in particular you guys wanted to address this afternoon?
I'll start.
Okay.
I thoroughly enjoy just sitting on the flight lines and watching the aircraft come in and depart and watching ATC do their job. So it makes me proud to be ATC.
Well, we flew up in a Cherokee, so we had a little different perspective.
Oh yeah.
Now you're coming from Oklahoma, and you came from...
Yeah, I flew from from Grand Prairie, Texas to Oklahoma City to pick him up.
Okay.
And then we stopped in Iowa, Washington for fuel. And just were trying to time it out, so we got here.
It was a good thing to get.
Oh, yeah. And so we came in, you know, we were coming in over Ripon, and it was unfortunately right after Jack Roush had the accident earlier this week. And the controller said, you know, you're probably going to be holding for about an hour or so. So we said, okay, well, we'll just, you know, we got plenty of fuel. And then they cut it off. And so all the planning and getting ready, I mean, you can prepare for it, and you're getting ready to come here, and you're looking at all the kind of stuff, and then all of a sudden everything changes, and we're going, uh-oh.
Yeah.
We got to go to Fond du Lac
now. It's a mad dash, everybody out of the hold, going to Fond du Lac.
Yeah, so when you're flying in, you know, you got to say you're flying in as pilots and your controllers. Is there anything that, in switching roles like that, you know, when you get on the frequency with the other controllers,
you know,
that strikes
me,
you?
Flying up here the whole time, we didn't see an airplane one. I mean, that
600 miles,
that really
airplane.
Surprised me. I'm figuring we'd be picking up airplanes from 200 out, all going, converging to one spot, but we really didn't see anything. And that was really amazing.
But you're talking to people.
Oh, yeah.
No?
Yeah.
No flight following?
No, we had flight following.
We had flight following.
Yeah.
So that amazed me.
Is there a different kind of discourse that goes on?
Well,
with
I think the
pilot?
Perspective sometimes is that you think about, you know, when you're a controller, you can't always think like a pilot, because sometimes we've got to have stuff done a certain way. But on the other side of it, as a pilot, I understand now what the controllers are going through. Beforehand, I was just like, oh man, this controller is just being, you know, rude and whatever. Well, you know, sometimes we're asking for stuff not because we want to be rude, but because we need it for separation, for some of the rules that we've got to abide by. And when we came in here, you know, we were both thinking, well, you know, our eyes are looking out the window, but you get in that pilot mode. So, you know, when I'm in the cockpit, it's pilot mode. And I used to fly corporate out of Southwest Florida before I became a controller. So immediately I'm going, okay, let's do this and let's do this. But listening to what the controllers were saying, you start thinking in that 3D controller aspect of, okay, he's talking about a plane over here, and he's talking about us now, and then over here, and so
yeah,
on and
you
so
probably
forth.
Can't get too lost in that whole perspective.
Yeah.
and then lose your own focus on
exactly.
your aircraft.
But we're trying to build a 3D picture in the cockpit on what the controller's seeing. So
do you find it helps you to be a... Do you find it helps you to be a pilot and doing your controller jobs? Because, I mean, many controllers are there that are actually pilots? Not as many
small,
as one might think.
A small
right.
percentage. I would say less than
about
2%
or so. Yeah, 20. I'm sorry, 20%. 20%.
Is it 20?
Yeah, it's about 20%. And one of the things I think, you know, when I went to the academy, I'm thinking, hey, I've been flying corporate. I've got nearly 1,000 hours. This is going to be a little bit easier. No, you can throw all that stuff out when you become a controller. I mean, the phraseology started all over. I had a little bit of heads up on that. But when you go through that, I think that as a pilot, you can help think like a pilot. And within our facility, maybe we have 5 pilots out of 300 some odd controllers. So anytime there's an emergency or something like that, they're always referencing one of us, because a lot of the guys don't know what you're going through in the cockpit. I mean, just for example, when I was landing in Oklahoma City to pick him up, they had to send an MD-80 to go around, and the controller started getting sort of real fast and rude with the pilot because he wasn't understanding what he wanted to do. And one of the things that some of the controllers sometimes don't understand is how much is going on in the cockpit. And so I think from that perspective, you can really learn a lot by, you know, both
kind
sides.
Kind of the flip side of what you said is being it makes you a more, I guess, I always wanted to say compliant pilot, knowing what the controllers are asking you to do and why. But as a controller, being a pilot makes you a more I guess, aware.
Well, you're aware of, number one, what the airplanes can do, whether they can, you know, a lot of people don't know what an airplane can do, but they're controllers, meaning they can't descend and slow at the same time. Any kind of emergency, you lose a vacuum pump, so a controller may give them a vector not knowing what that entails. So being in the cockpit certainly helps the aspect of controlling.
Okay, and then now of that 20%, how many of them are actually currently flying and maintain their currency?
2%.
I think the most shocking thing when I give pilot controller relationship speeches is the shocked look on the pilots' faces when they know that only a small percentage of controllers are actually pilots. They feel that we need to be, or need to be required to be, and as Evan said,
they think that it should be a requirement, or they're just surprised that you're not.
They're surprised that we're not, and what they don't understand, as Evan said, is a lot of that just gets thrown out the window because it's a totally different idea to be a controller than it is a pilot, and the 3D picture that you have to build in your head.
Oh yeah, and the thing about it is that we love, you know, everybody here, not only pilots, controllers, aviation maintenance, anybody, you have this passion for aviation, and it starts, you know, for people, it starts young, it starts old, it starts, you know, that first time you get to fly in an airplane or see an air traffic control tower. And that's what's amazing. You know, there's this tremendous passion. We love talking with pilots. We love talking with everybody in the aviation industry that we get the opportunity to. That's why we're here. And I'm also on the National Reloaded Committee for NATCA, for the National Air Traffic Controllers Association, and has to deal a lot with some of the new guys coming in. And one of the things I try to do when we've got new guys at Fort Worth Center is take them up flying that haven't been flying before. I'm noticing that quite a few of the guys and girls have a little bit of flying experience or flew corporate or flew for the airlines and then decided to come over, as I was always told, over the dark side. But now I've got all the friends going, well, you know, corporate's not, or you know, the airline's not going so great. How do I get over to the dark side?
And so I'm is it the official terminology of what D side is?
The dark side, right?
You know, I had always thought that I'd miss my calling by never becoming a pilot. And I've always loved aviation.
You can still call.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Yes, I can. however, when we did have the familiarization program where we could actually ride up in the cockpit, I realized that I don't sit very well. I like to walk around and move around a lot. And I realized that air traffic control was perfect for me because it's fast moving, it's quick gold, and I love it.
Yeah.
And you can get up and move, apparently, here and there?
Well, you know, I can at least stand up a little bit and move around.
Well, now, you're in tower.
Tower and approach control.
And your approach.
And tower.
And your center.
I'm in a big dark room.
Yeah, you're
so
in a big dark room.
We're dual certified, Dave and I. Evan, strictly radar.
Now, how does that work? I mean, you go through the training, and you have to do it before you're 30 so that you can get hired by 31 or whatever the case may be, and people kind of know about that. But you go through the training and then you get hired. What are the different certifications levels? I mean, how do you graduate up to doing center from tower? Or is there a certain congested
it's
airports
a
you stay away from?
It's a supply and demand type of deal. The FAA puts you where they need you. So a lot of people go to the centers. Very few go to the approach controls. With the latest coming retirements, you know, at a mass flux of hiring.
Because she mentioned dual qualified, so is there qualifications for doing tower as opposed to...
Towers, you got to control a CTO, control tower operator's license, where Evan does not. Or that plays in, I'm not for sure, but...
Different rules apply. We have to know the tower rules, and we have to know radar separation rules, where Evan doesn't actually apply the radar tower runway rules.
Right. We have
that is a mouthful, isn't it?
Yeah.
You know, a lot of times, I actually went to Embry-Riddle Aeronautical University. You used to have to go through a CTI program in order to become a controller. So there's a lot of guys and girls that went through the CTI program and then were hired. And then
is that a program that they offer in addition to?
Yes, it's actually, I believe it was like minor in aviation or air traffic management, and a lot of universities are offering it now. I forget the number; it's in the 30s or something. 34 universities are offering this program now. Well, the thing was is that they needed so many people over this last hiring spree that they had to start hiring people off the street, which is a lot of the ways that most of the controllers that are training us came in off the street. So you've got this mix of things going on. So we get to the
sounds academy. Dangerous off
yeah,
the
right,
street.
Off the street.
Hey, buddy, you want a job?
Yeah. Well, and you know, you had this sort of tendency where they were going around the room the first day we got to the academy in Oklahoma City, and they said, okay, you know, talk about what you were doing. And so I was flying Citations and King Airs and Pilatuses I was working for United Airlines. And it's going down the room, and then gets to this girl, and she raises her, you know, they say, well, what did you do? And she's like, well, I was working at Best Buy, and I filled out an application, and now I'm a controller, you know. And it's, everybody was sort of like, oh, really, you know. But the bottom line is that, you know, we all graduated, and we're all checked out, and we're all doing the same thing, essentially. It's interesting to see, because there's all kinds of backgrounds in it. And after you get to the facility, I think it took me about 18 months to get checked out at Fort Worth Center, which is a little bit better than average. I mean, it's sort of all over the place, but you know, sometimes 3 years, sometimes 12 months, and you've got to go through a certification on the D side, which helps out all the radar.
That's the dark side.
The dark side, yeah. You're doing a lot of computer entries and working on airspace and talking with other controllers that, you know, maybe a plane's just nipping one of the other sectors or whatever. And then you go back through training and go into the radar training. So in the center, you know, essentially we have six positions. You had to get six D sides, then six our sides, and then you were checked out. Whereas it works a little differently in the tower and the TRACON. I mean, the TRACON still has the radar stuff, but you're working by yourself. You don't work with somebody sitting next to you like sometimes we do when it gets real busy. So,
and how if somebody wanted to become a controller, how would they look for a program? I mean, is there one in every state, or there tend to be certification courses, or do you pretty much have to look for something? And
we get that question quite a bit, and I go up to Oklahoma City about every 45 days to talk with the new trainees that are going through there. And the opportunity now that's going to exist for controllers in the future is going to be through the CTI programs. I don't think that they're going to bring back the public hiring bids for a while. They've got so many CTI students in the pipeline already, but maybe just a very little on the public side. The CTI program, some of them are as short as a year. I mean, 12 to 18 months. Some of them, like when I went to Embry-Riddle, I just did it as a minor and ended up coming out of there and going, you know what, this is probably the way that I should go versus flying, because I can enjoy
both.
Were
you already a pilot at the time?
I was already a pilot. I didn't fly at Embry-Riddle. My student loan debt might be twice as what it is now, but in any case, the CTI programs basically are able to funnel you in, and once you're done with the program, you end up they send a letter basically to the FAA saying you're ready to be hired, and it can take anywhere from a year to a year and a half to 2 years before you're actually hired. And everybody had to go through the process. That's a question we get a lot, is that why did it take so long, and so on and so forth. Well, it's just part of the deal. We all had to go through it, and once you're in, it's fantastic. You get to meet so many great people. I don't think you meet a controller that would say anything, you know, that would not love their job. We love our jobs. We love talking to people about it.
Anybody I've ever talked to, you know.
Yeah.
That movie Pushing Tin didn't exactly portray
it. Wasn't a good portrayal.
Yeah, portray
the maybe the personalities, because you know you'll find a lot of weird personalities out there. But
that would be you, Evan.
No.
But the other pipeline we also have is the military.
I forget. Yeah, the VRA. That's another excellent opportunity. A lot of people coming in as VRA hires from military. Essentially, you know, it's a great profession, and you know, stop on by our booth. We'd love to talk with you guys if you're here. And
where would that be?
I don't know. It's right almost at the base of the control tower. No, it's almost
over there. Yeah.
Give me some vectors.
Yeah, it's almost at the base of the air traffic control tower there at Oshkosh, towards the field, towards
between
the
tower and the field, yeah. Basically.
Yeah.
Now, we're also giving two forums today at 4 o'clock in Pavilion 4. We're doing a runway safety forum. We'd like everybody to come and get updates on the new procedures that are being implemented and get more familiar with those. And then also at 2:30 on Saturday, I am giving a very fun forum on pilot-controller relations and pet peeves. For about a year, I went through and asked pilots and controllers things that drove them crazy about each other.
So you got some good insight on that, huh?
Oh, a lot of fun. And now I had to decide how to present the information in a fun but educational manner. And I think that we've done that with a lot of humor. So I would love at 2:30 at the Poly Forum Pavilion to have as many people come as we can.
Okay. Well, we're going to take a quick break here, and then maybe we can talk about some more of that when we come back. You are listening to Push to Talk with Magneto Mel, and we're talking with the National Air Traffic Controllers Association.